No, I was thinking just there.
What?
That like I could never do one of these live because I always look like an absolute foot. Like I don't think I've even brushed my teeth yet. I've been cleaning the house. I'm full of dust. I look like a mess. And then also while I was cleaning, do you know what I actually found? Like a hook, a plastic hook that obviously picked up the other day. And I'm like, just finding all this random shit everywhere. That I'm like, no, you got from the Middle Island Lidl.
No.
Like, we don't need a new hook.
That hook was for something else. I bought two of them. I was going to use them in the truck to stick so as coat hooks. Oh. But I stuck one on and the stickiness wasn't strong enough. So now I have another one in the packet. And of course, it's God knows where the receipt is. So we just live with that. That hook just lives. Now it's going to move... From drawer, you know the drawer, the magic drawer that has everything in it?
Yeah, no, it's now gonna go into up that. With all your tools. That's where I put everything now. And then, do you know what I also found? A box of 6 bottles of Dettol spray.
Yeah.
But, like, you still continue to buy those products in the shop.
Because I forgot I had them.
Well, we have them. I've taken them out of the box. You can see them there.
Yeah, you put them on display.
Yeah, I feel like we just, excuse me, keep forgetting about them.
We do, definitely do.
Right, anyway, let's get this podcast kicked off.
Are we sponsored by Dettol? It looks like it if you look at our kitchen right now.
No, we're not.
I'm going to take a photo of that because that fully looks like we're sponsored by Dettol. Episode 2.
So welcome back to the New Parents Podcast. Episode 2. So we ended last week's episode with me telling everybody...
I'm still cringing. I'm still... skin crawling, cringing.
So we got tons of messages about that as well, which was funny.
Not funny for me.
So you had a task then from the last episode where you had to think of what you think was my most cringy moment.
Where do I begin?
And you said last night when we were discussing today of when we will record and stuff like that. And you said last night that you had it, but you wouldn't tell me what it was. You said, no, I'll tell you when we're on the podcast.
I have two.
I have two.
I've narrowed it down to two. There's loads, obviously.
I bet you I know one of them.
The category is there's a Venn diagram of like embarrassing stories of Deb and then also stories that are going to get me killed. And then I need to go in the middle where... that can be embarrassing, but I'm not going to die.
You can say any of them. I don't think I've ever done anything so cringe. Oh, I know. Don't tell that one. Trevor, if you're listening, he knows what it is as well. Did you think of that one?
Go on.
Me, you and Trevor.
Go on.
No, I'm not telling the story.
Why not? Well, now it sounds like we had a threesome.
No, now people think that because you bloody put it in their heads. No, the one who's like, yeah.
Oh, you remember you, me, and Trevor?
I didn't say it like that. I said on a night out, you, me, and Trevor, and I got really drunk, and then an incident happened.
Can I not tell that story?
Go on then.
Debbie used to be a session mod. This is
before. Was a session mod.
You were a
socialite.
You were not. You were a session mod. We were out one night and we were in Sophie's above the Dean. Lovely spot. It was like a restaurant, and it turns into a late bar. And it goes till probably 2:30 in the morning. And this was 2:30 in the morning. And we had been boozing all night. Myself, Trev, we're happy to call it a night. Debbie wasn't.
I could never go home at the end of the night.
You never felt like the party to stop.
I always felt like we just got out. I was just having too much fun. And I always felt like we're only here an hour and they're kicking us out. Like, what the hell?
We're like 8 or 10 hours drinking. And you're like... So the long and short of it is a bouncer comes over. It's like, all right, folks, mum, go, go, go. And you're like, all right, whatever. Right. Not paying any heed to him. Really playing on your female privilege of like, well, he's not going to do anything to me. I'm a cute little girl. So he kind of looks at it, gives us the look of being like, lads, move this one on, will you? And we're like, oh, we're doing our best. So then to try and coax you into going home, we were like, Deb, trust us when we say tomorrow you'll be glad you went home now and didn't continue boozing somewhere. And then Trev goes, sober Debbie will thank you tomorrow. And you turn around and went, yeah, well, do you know what? Sober Debbie's a cunt. We're like, I'm sorry, what? It was this moment where we realized.
I'm totally going to bleep out that word. I hate that word. I can't believe I even said that word.
Yeah, it came viscerally out of your mouth. Your nickname for a while was Tasmanian Debbie.
Or the fizzy rascal.
When you'd drink, you were like the Tasmanian devil. You just come in and whoo, you were wild. Look at you now, huh? Didn't even brush your teeth for this morning. Speaking of which, I've got a bad breath story in a minute I'm going to tell. That wasn't the story I was going to call up of your most embarrassing moment. And
for that as well, like, you know, those people that record those incidents, you know, the way like you can wake up after a night out and you have the fear anyway, but then you have those pals, you know, those pals that record the incident and then send it to you.
I'm going to try and find that. We have that clip.
Yeah, we're not putting that anywhere. We'd have to bleep out the C word. I let myself down by saying that word.
You really did. You really did.
Oh, did I now?
Yeah, you did. You know, I wasn't angry that night. I think I was more disappointed in you.
Really?
But that wasn't going to be the embarrassing story I was going to tell. See, there's so many. This was back at a time you were running Vanity X and you were preparing for a graduation.
I don't know this.
And we were in one of the big rooms in a hotel and we were getting everything set up.
Don't tell that story. Do not tell that story, Killian.
We were using your laptop to hook into the projector on these huge big screens because it was going to have your logo up at the start and then you're doing all the different awards. It was all run through PowerPoint on your computer. And long, poor
fella. You shouldn't say his name.
One of your employees, your only male employee, was sexually assaulted that day. He was sexually assaulted that day.
No, he wasn't. Can you be careful of your words? Like, your use of language is, like, awful in today's society.
His eyes were sexually assaulted.
No, they weren't. Don't be so ridiculous.
Well, let me explain what happened then. He innocently plugs in your laptop to the projectors, which are already running up with giant big screens in this big function room. And obviously, whatever folder you had previously had open on the laptop came straight up on the big screens.
No, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. It was just, it wasn't like a specific folder or anything like that. It was just like whatever way he plugged into it, it automatically had brought up, like, opened my photo albums. Like, it just opened up the albums.
Anyone that knows anything about computers knows that it doesn't do that.
That's exactly what happened, Killian.
So what photo album did it open?
No, it didn't open an album. It just, on a Mac, it has a folder called Pictures. Photos, but and it just opened.
Which photos?
Doesn't matter.
I think it does matter. It doesn't. Which photos did it open?
You're so dead. I can't believe you're saying this on our podcast.
Debbie's, shall we call it a private album?
No, that's disgusting, Killian.
Yeah, dirty album.
Nudes. No, they weren't nudes.
Debbie's pictures of herself.
Yeah, like for you, they weren't for anybody else.
They were for everybody who was in the room in that moment, which was only just Lee and I, granted. But
there actually was people down the back, I think.
You forced your partial
nudity.
Will
you be so careful what words you're using? Like, you're trying to be smart here, but you be so careful what words you're using here. Genuinely.
You tell me how it looks.
Killian, I'm going to
kill you. Your boss gives you a laptop and goes,
you're like really dragged this story out to be something bigger than
this. Plug this into the big screens. And he's just like doing his job. So he plugs it in and he's like, his boss is in lingerie on the big screen. He's like, does she want me to see this? Am I meant to see this?
No. Not having it.
Is that not what happened?
No.
Is that not the chain of events?
So much more innocent than that.
Let's break it down. Did you hand him the laptop and say, plug that into HDMI cable?
No.
Oh, no, you're lying.
He did that by his own accord.
He just took your laptop on his own accord.
Killian.
Anyway. Everyone in the room that was in that room got to see what, up to that point, only you I thought them. I saw. So anyway, we're going to share some of those pictures on the Instagram.
No,
I think we are.
I can't believe you said that story on. Yeah. I have to make sure nobody listens to this now.
What, they don't know you've got like a saucy album on your laptop?
I don't anymore. Jesus, long gone from saucy body I have. Nobody wants to look at this. Anyway, moving along. So you said you two. What was the other one?
The other one was the cork story. I told this on our wedding day.
Yeah,
this was in my speech.
Jesus.
We were down in Cork on the Razzmatazz. And again, this is when Deb was the session mot that she used to be. Was very drunk. And we were in, I think it's called O'Riordan's. It's basically a pub in the centre of Cork that has a live band. And they're doing covers of like Kings of Leon, The Killers, you know, there's like covers band, you know, on a Saturday night in Cork playing away. And then they start doing their version of The Maniac, which like everyone else in the bar was just like, oh yeah, of course, this is, you know, we were so drunk that night. You turned to me halfway through the first verse of Maniac.
Oh my God.
Like this. Killian. I'm like, yeah. Like, we're Irish. Like, I know, yeah. You're like, no, but this is The Maniac and we're Irish. I don't know what's going on here. She's like, I'm going to go tell the band that we're Irish. At this point, it dawned on me. She thought we were in Spain. She thought we were on holidays in Spain, so drunk she was, and that we were in just some random bar, and then this band started singing Maniac, and she thought she was going to go over to the band and halfway through them performing go, I'm Irish, and them to stop, think, oh my God, oh, you're Irish, oh, I'm always Irish. But the reality is, this was an Irish band in Cork playing in O'Riordan's, singing the Maniac, two Irish people, and this girl came running over to the front of the stage, started shouting at the lead singer, I'm Irish! I'm Irish! And I could just see him out of the corner of his eye looking down at this girl, like, oh my God, we're all Irish. That was embarrassing for you.
It was funny.
Yeah.
They're more funny than embarrassing. Well, the photo, really, that was like absolutely mortifying, like, obviously. But the other two are just kind of like drunken funny ones, aren't they?
Yeah. Drunken Deb.
I'm too old to be cringing at my past now, so.
Ah, you're not too old for anything, chicken. Look at you.
No, but I mean to cringe at my past.
Oh, now you're just like, well, I'm wifed up with a kid, whatever.
No, I'm just like, whatever. Like, that was like 10, 15 years ago, like.
We're not together 15 years, chicken.
Well, it feels like 10, 15 years ago. Does, so yeah. It would have been like, what are we now? 2023. So definitely would have been, well, over 7 years ago anyway. We're together over 7 years, so.
Are we?
Yeah.
I mean, we are.
But you're like, we're in this house 5 years.
Are we?
6 years in September.
I'm in this house 5 years. I moved in
literally 2 months later.
Yeah, no. I remember you moving in. How could I forget you moving in?
Oh, yeah. Do you remember that?
I was over in the apartment
because I had to hand back my apartment, and I was over cleaning, and my dad and my brother were dropping stuff, like doing trips back and forth to drop stuff over, and I just remember like them loading up the stuff and just thinking about when they arrive over to
my lovely clean house. And my, like, minimal house. I've like quite a minimal aesthetic.
No, not anymore, you don't. With your six bottles of Dad all over there. Minimalist.
I'm a hoarder. I'm a hoarder. But yeah, Jesus, the front room for
house. Anxiety went through the roof.
And you just keep being like, oh, I'll make my way through it.
It took ages.
It took bloody right.
Because I was like running a business. I was in college at the same time as well. Do you remember?
Yeah.
I was in college at the same time.
Bitten off a bit more than you could chew.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like me.
Wouldn't be like you.
No, it wouldn't. So I did something exciting today.
What?
I booked a holiday.
For us?
No, me, my mum and Alex are heading away in 3 weeks. It's when you're away working.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. Because you know what that does? That alleviates a little bit of my work guilt.
You get work guilt?
I get work guilt. When I go away on a shoot, I was just away a couple of weeks ago for a whole week.
Yeah, that was tough.
And yeah, I get work guilt.
Like as in?
Because I fucking love it. And I know that what I'm, in order for me to be able to be that selfish and just purely on set, involved in a production for days on end, means that all of the usual responsibilities that come with parenting have to be done by you and your own.
Yeah, it was actually quite tough because Alex is at that age now where he's just like full on. Like,
busy.
He's
busy,
so
being busy.
He's keep on calling him a busybody because,
you know, there's people in the office who are just busy being busy the whole time.
He doesn't stop. Like,
no.
From the moment he opens his eyes to the moment he closes his eyes. Actually, even in his sleep, he doesn't stop. He's constantly tossing and turning and everything in his sleep. That kid doesn't stop, like,
no.
At all.
I guess he's just got here. He's only just, like, he's like, he's life exhausting. To him is all still new. So he's like, what's that? A pot? Show me that pot. I want that pot.
He's like,
give me that
pot. Da, 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 da. Like, it's one thing. Next thing, his eyes are just, like, darting around the room. Da, 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 da. What can I get? What can I get? What I can get? They said no to that. Okay, what else? What else? What else? Like, it's just constant. Like, we took him to the park last night. We're like, we let him run around so that we tire him out. And some other kids are kicking football with him and all. They were great. And he's like, run around for ages. And like, we go to bring him home. Oh my God. He went berserk. The yeah. tantrums.
Yeah.
He's got like full on bucking bronco in your arms. Like he's like the full on tantrums of him now if he doesn't get. He's so like, is the word defiant? Is that the correct word?
Yeah.
He's just like,
you can see it in him if you want something. He's
like, he has to get it. He's no patience. Like, obviously, he probably gets that from me, but like, zero patience whatsoever. He just like, now it's like, eh, like that's his noise to point and eh, to get something, and then you don't do it straight away. Or if his food is not cooked straight away, and he's like, open his mouth, like to give it to him, and it's not ready yet, and he goes berserk.
So like, the question is, how do we nip that in the bud?
Yeah, it's because like, obviously you're saying no, hang on. I'm like, it's too hot. What I start to do is let him touch it so that he can like not obviously burn his fingers.
Wow.
But like,
no, do you know what I do? I put the stove on hot. I put his hand in boiling water and I'd say now. No. Huh? Now, yeah?
No, just with his mash. Like Jesus when he's Christ. Rain, like, the mash is too hot. And I'm like, no, it's hot, it's burning, and I'm blowing on it. And I'm like, putting on a spoon, I'm blowing on it. And he's like, his mouth open. And I'm like, you can't have it yet, it's hot. So I go, touch it. And then he puts a teeny little finger on it and touches it and goes, oh. And I was like, yeah, it's too hot. And then he'll wait.
He is getting a little bit too, I want it now. He's like one of the kids sometimes. My fear, he's not now, but my fear is that he'll evolve into one of the kids from Willy Wonka. You know, that one who's like, I want it now.
No, that's just the spoiled kid.
Like, yeah, but that's the fear because like,
no, spoiled is that they like get everything as in every toy, every like, do you know, no, all
expect
that
everything,
sort of
want
stuff.
Everything now. And it's like, if they don't get it, then they kick up bloody
no,
blue
I think
murder.
He just hasn't learned that he has to wait. And that's what we need to put manners on, is like, make him wait.
Yeah, I have a bit of a rule whereby, like, if he starts to cry and I know he's not in any physical pain, then I'm just like, what are you crying for? I won't acknowledge it. I won't give any.
Yeah, but I think you go
it.
Too far. Like, you go.
No, because then I know the second I'll give him,
no,
when like the food
give
then is ready,
him.
I give it to him, and he's just, the tear's gone. He's fine. So I know, no, he's completely fine. He's
I know
just
that,
trying to
but
let
your
me know.
Energy that you give off is like so standoffish.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing crying at me for, you little tick? I don't say that to him. I don't say that to him. But my energy is
definitely
like
your energy.
Yeah, 100%.
He's 14 months old. He doesn't know.
He does
Killian.
Need to know that. That doesn't work with me.
No, I know he needs to know, but he doesn't know. So that you have to find the correct way to tell him. But you creating that energy barrier is just going to make him react even more. That's why he's always crying when you have him.
No. I think too mothering. Mothering is smothering.
Shut up.
But you know what I mean?
No, that's not.
He
no,
is always
I say
crying
no to him
when I have
time.
Him. He is always crying because I feel like he's just used to, like, if he wants to get out, if he's in the high chair and he just reaches up to get out, I'm just like, no, we're not finished eating. You're staying here. And then he's like, we'll have a wind, you cry, whatever. Or I'll bring him to the nail salon. I have to do his nails. And he doesn't like it particularly, but it has to get done because the alternative is he scratches the living bejesus out of you.
So the nail salon is like not an actual nail salon.
No. I just put music on Alexa. I put him in the stoke and we sit there and I pretend that I'm like doing his nails and all.
Nails.
But sometimes he'll tolerate that for a few minutes. Then he'll be like, no. And I know he's not in any pain because nails aren't sore to be cut. So there's no
Killian.
Pain. Once I cut, because he wriggled
his
hands.
They bled.
He wriggled his hands and I cut a bit beyond the nail and the thing.
No,
so
you
now,
can't blame a child over
I'm
something
I'm not victim
like that.
Blaming. No.
You cut it. I wish we were recording because I show how bloody short that you cut it down. I had to ban you from cutting his toes because you're damaging his toenails. He's going to have ingrown toenails. He will, Killian, the way you cut them.
They need to be trimmed.
Do you know how to cut toenails?
Obviously not. I didn't realise. I've been doing it for nearly 40 years. But I didn't realise there's a wrong way of doing it.
There is. Like, if you cut your toenails in an incorrect way, direction, like the way that you cut them, like if you start trimming them all around them.
Sorry,
like
just
that.
Just to clarify for the listener, I'm not cutting into them like.
No, I know.
I'm not like cutting into them vertically.
No,
I
know.
I am cutting them across the same shape as the top of the toe.
Yeah, but you don't. You just do across. You don't cut like the edges and sides.
I do cut the edges because the edges are real sharp.
Yeah, but you don't because that's how you create ingrown toenails.
So you don't cut the edges?
No.
Because you took him to the nail salon the other day and I did think to myself, oh, that's a waste of a journey because I'm going to have to redo this again because his nails still had the side corner bits that were still.
Well, no, his fingernails you can. But his toenails you can't.
Are the scrapes there?
Jesus Christ.
Can you see
Where's
the
that little violin
can
I
you
have?
You see the scrapes there? Last night he was lying on me and then we do this thing where he thinks our belly buttons are secret buttons that make us dance. So basically if he sees our belly
electric.
Button. Yeah, he pushes our belly button and then we have go. To go so anyway, I was putting him to bed last night and he was lying on me and then he pulled up my t-shirt and he was pressing the belly button to make me go electric. And then he just starts like scraping the shit out of my stomach.
Oh no, do you know what he's doing? He's trying to tickle you.
Well, that child needs a lesson in tickles. Because I was not
he's
laughing.
He's trying to tickle you. Oh, that's so cute.
It's not cute. Look at the scars. I look like something from The Lion King.
No, you
look
don't.
At that.
There's nothing there, Killian. Jesus, you're so dramatic. No wonder he'd just be like throwing himself around and all. He's so theatrical. It's like exactly like you. Unbelievable. So the baby's been sick the last, Jesus f***ing hell. about 3 months.
What age is he now? But you know what the frustrating thing is? When you do go to the doctor or you go to A&E or anywhere, the first question is, has he recently started childcare? I'm like, yeah, no, he has. And we know that this happens. But like, for 12 weeks solid, the child is just coughing like as if he's smoking 20 Marlboro a day.
We actually call it the smoker's cough.
Yeah. It's like the poor kid cannot catch a break. Just feels like he's getting over a chest infection. He's on a course of antibiotics. He gets over that. And then he gets into something else. And so anyway, now he's the last week, and it's been particularly tough because we've no childcare at the moment. Our childminder is away taking what is, I've since learned to be, a well-deserved break.
She's her hands full.
Yeah, she really does. So we've had to kind of juggle that at home.
I definitely think next year, because like this was obviously our first year, like our year first, let's say. This is our first time being in childcare. It's our first time having to, like, when there is no childcare, figure it out. I definitely think next year, I understand now why parents take that week off and go on holidays and use that as their holiday and all. Like, I really get it. Like, so I definitely think next year I'll probably do something like that.
Because when we got the dates from our childminder of when she was going to be away, and we're like, oh, that's grand. And I was like, okay, yeah, start of, okay.
His weekend babysitter, like his babysitter, if we're going out, she came over and helped.
For a couple of hours each day. So I was like, oh yeah, like that's doable. And I can just make sure that me work-wise that week that I'm here, that I can be around. I can still get a little bit of post-production work done in the home office and everything else. But like, no.
Do you know what it is? It's just because he's full on. He doesn't, he likes you to play with him. So it's like, he likes playing with toys, but he likes interaction with other people. So it's like, every now and again, he might play by himself with his little cars and stuff like that. But like, he ultimately wants that interaction with another human. So the fact that he doesn't have any kids to play with this week, I think, is a massive thing for him. And then he was sick as well, so that didn't help. So then we had lack of sleep on top of all that as well. So it's
and then he made a liar of me.
Oh yeah, you brought him to the doctor.
We went Tuesday morning. He woke up. Bless the little fellow. Was not himself. He loves water. He wouldn't take water. He wouldn't take his morning bop.
Wouldn't take his food.
Like nothing. He was really. He would just stand there and then just cry, which is so unlike him. So there was a phone call made to the GP, and then there was an emergency appointment that was given to us. For like, this was like whatever, 9 a.m. we rang, so the appointment was for 11:30. And again, once the appointment was made, for the next hour or so, it was more of the same. And it was like this poor little kid, we need to get him seen. Does he need an antibiotic, whatever, let's get an answer. And then I eventually got a bottle into him and we went for a walk. He went for a sleep. He woke up from the sleep about 50 minutes before the doctor's appointment, bright as a button. I was outside the doctor's going to him like, you fucking ham it up now, you go in there pretend. With a limp, like pretend, cough, give me the cough and all. He was like smiling, bright eyed, and we go into the GP, and she's lovely, and you know, bless, she was trying not to be, and she wasn't condescending, right? She like checked him out and everything else, and she checked the chest and all that sort of thing, and she was like, and what was the kind of reason for you wanting the appointment today? And I'm like sitting there looking at this child who is happy, healthy, bouncy. I'm like, yeah, so he wasn't like this morning, but he obviously is now. So she's like, look, this thing about kids, they can come in and out of these things so quickly. They'll get sick quickly, but they'll recover quickly. So that's why.
But like my
for the
whole,
first year, year and a half, they say just kind of see how things run before doing anything too drastic.
But my whole thing on that is like where she says, oh, they come in and come out of sickness. That he's been sick consistently for like 3 months.
Yeah, poor
Do you know
fella.
What I mean? Like he's that cough hasn't gone. Like that congestion hasn't gone. They keep saying his chest is clear, so I guess that's the main thing. And we did have him in the hospital where he was sick at one point and it did turn a little bit last year, but he was fine. But like I guess they checked his chest, they did his blood, so that was only a couple of weeks ago and he was fine. So but it's just like you're just like, can kick ever catch a break? Like
I know, yeah.
You know,
poor little fella,
because then he doesn't sleep great at night, so then we don't. Like the other night, oh by Jesus, I think I was awake 24 hours.
That was insane.
He woke at 12:30, 20 to 1 I think it was,
and he went down at 9 p.m.
yeah, I know, I couldn't get him down for ages. And then he woke at 20 to 1 and I was like, yeah, no, this isn't happening. Tried to get him back to sleep. There was like, every time you try to put him back in the cot, he was like going berserk. Like this was going on for ages. And then I think he kind of like had 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, like was fighting it all the way. And I think I got to about 3:30, 3:15. I was like, right, let's get up. He was just like wide awake, like he was running around upstairs on the landing and all.
How is he functioning?
I know. So I was like, right, let's just get up. So we came downstairs and we were watching a bit of telly, and then eventually I got a bottle into him and he fell asleep on the couch. But then that was at like 4:30, and I was like, I'm not moving him, because if I bring him upstairs, he'll wake up.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and I'm wide awake now. I was wide awake. So like had my breakfast, did a bit of work.
Crazy.
He woke up at 6:30. It was just insane. And then I had to go to work.
Then come 8 a.m. you're out the door to go to work for the day.
Yeah. And then like you're coming back and you're still doing the whole evening, like, do you know what I mean?
So this is where the whole we'll work it out. I'm like,
yeah, no.
No, we need live-in help.
We don't need live-in
help. We need live-in help.
That's so dramatic. You know there's people that do that with 4 kids.
I don't know how they do. When I was down in the GPs, there was a girl in the waiting room with, she had a child on her lap, and then a car seat. So I assumed the car seat was for that child. And halfway through, she kind of just bends over and tends. I was like, sorry, do you have another child in that car seat? She's like, yeah. I was like, oh. So I struggle with one. I don't know how you're doing two. She's like, oh, and I have 2 at home as well. I'm like, you 4 kids. She's like, oh, yeah. Like, I genuinely don't know how people do
that.
Yeah,
I don't. I wouldn't be able to do 4. I would like another baby, though, I think.
Yeah, rare for us. Oh. I'd love Alex to have a sibling.
I really would love him to have a sibling.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're just not willing to do the...
It's not in me to do what it takes, unless we have live-in help.
We don't have enough room in the house for live-in help or the money.
Then I guess we can't have another kid. Until we get enough money.
Because sure, I'm running out of time. Now would be the last time I could do this. Yeah. I guess the podcast isn't the correct place to have a conversation about this.
If you want me to put a baby in you, the least you can do is brush your teeth.
Speaking about brushing the teeth, this is what I started off saying about Alex being sick, because then I started to feel a little bit sick. I had pain in my ear, my throat, like it's more sinus. And I actually, do you know what? Ever since I had COVID, I haven't been 100%. I don't feel 100% ever since I had COVID last year. But
do you want news? Ever since I've known you, you haven't been 100%.
Yeah, but like, not cold wise. I never get colds. I never get the flu or anything like that. And then I had COVID and now I catch ear infections, like throat, everything. Anyway, so we were going to bed and I was like, I really don't feel well. I feel like shit. Like I feel like I've been hit by a bus. Like, and, what did you say to me? No. So the baby being sick and he'd like the throat, the ear, the everything. And we kept talking about, I kept going, oh, it's a little breath. He's real sick, little stinky breath. Like, you know that when you know someone has like an upset tummy or something like that. He's just like real stinky breath. So that was kind of like the running thing over the week. And then we go to bed the other night and I'm like, I really don't feel well. Bear in mind, I had just brushed my teeth.
And had you?
Yeah, I told you that.
Jesus Christ.
And then what did you say?
I said,
just bear in mind, I'm like, I'm turning around to my husband and I'm saying, I'm so tired. I think I'd been just up the 24 hours and I was like, I'm so tired. I feel so sick. My ears are so sore. My throat is so sore. I think I'm catching what the baby has. Like feeling absolutely miserable.
I will admit.
All I wanted was someone to say, ah, you're okay.
Was not my proudest moment as a husband.
So in that moment, you told me my breath stinks and you made me cry.
Yeah, both of those things happened. Yeah, I did. I was like, oh yeah, no, you can tell, because it was like,
yeah, that's what you said. You said, yeah, you can tell because your breath's real stinky. All right, cheers. And then how did you make me cry?
Because I moved my sleeping position.
No, that's not what happened.
I think it is.
I think that was a different,
I think,
night.
It just, me saying you had Ming and breath triggered within you how I always am.
Oh yeah, because I'm so nice to you when you're sick. So when Killian's sick, I'm like, can I get you anything? Rub your head. I like rub your back. I go to bed. I'll do everything. It's grand. Like, I'm such a caring person when you're sick. I'm not allowed to be sick. Like, Killian gets annoyed. His energy.
I don't get.
You get annoyed with me. He's annoyed that I'm sick. Like, your energy is, you're annoyed by me if I'm sick. You don't like if I'm not on all cylinders all the time. It's like you get annoyed. That's the energy you give off. Like you ignore it. Like you just go, duh, 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 she's not sick. We're not doing this. We're not saying she's sick. Like, you swear I was sick all the time. I'm never one to be moaning. I'm always one to just get on with it. And like, if it would be rare for me to look for someone to hug me and say, are you okay? Like, very rare. And in the moments that I do want it, you tell me I have stinking breath and turn around.
So listener, You heard it from the horse's breath mouth. Herself, she said, it's very rare. I'd want somebody to give me
the horse's breath.
She's very rare. I'd want people to give me the, you know, the affection, the attention. I've described it sometimes because you're like, you will eventually get into it and you'll be like, why are you like this with me? Rah, 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 rah. Like, just give me a fucking hug. Just be there for me. And I'm like, would you hug a hedgehog?
Shut up.
That's what it's like.
You're
like,
so nothing, dramatic.
Nothing about what you're exuding says to me, I would like a hug now. So babe, then, so babe, I would have to go against all of my natural instincts to think, Killian, I know what this girl wants right now.
Killian, if someone, like, you've been sick before in your life, right?
Yeah, but the sick thing is like generally like...
What? Selfish?
No, it's also linked with like, before. Sometimes you won't even have told me you're a bit sick or whatever. You'll just have like a period of time where you'll be, it'll be perceived on my part to you being short with me. One answer replies. Nothing.
Like, do you know
grunting,
what's gas?
Not responding.
Do you know
what do you
gas?
Want? Nothing. This, nah, nah.
Do you know what's
so, like,
gas?
This will
you
be
make
the
that
lead
about
up.
Yourself?
Well, yeah, hello. Main character syndrome. Of course everything is about me in my head. Of course it is. The first place I go is I internalize it. What have I done to cause this?
You know, so, you could just verbalize that and we'll cut out all the nonsense. You could literally just turn around and go, did I do something wrong? And then I'd be like, no, I'm just having a bad day. And
no,
then
no,
straight
you
away.
Wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
If yeah, I would.
No, I'm going to record the next time because you think you respond with this tone of like, no, do you know, babe.
No, I don't respond
babe,
like that.
Do you know what it is? I'm just having a day.
No.
That's how you think you respond.
No.
But in reality,
I never said that that's how I would respond. But if you just turn around and said, like, is everything all right? And then it gives me a moment to say, no, I just don't feel well. Then you go, okay, grant.
Okay, but in my defense,
we've had, I'm not doing this again.
But
we've had so many conversations about this.
I feel like this is a conversation that a lot of couples have because in my defense, your, I'm just not having a good day response is the exact same tonal response to would be if you found out that like, I'd lost her life savings or like it's the exact same response
oh
to when
God.
You actually are just having a bad day or to when you're thinking about leaving me. It's
no.
the same. So then I'm like, well, that could mean anything. That's the equivalent of, I'm fine. I'm like, okay, I know she's not, but she said the words. So am I to listen to her words or listen to her tone or read her body language? There's too much. Men need instructions.
How come I can do it for you?
Because women know how to see the world a different way
no,
to men.
No, we just take the time to understand, to learn about another human being. You don't.
I'm still trying to learn about me.
Oh, for Jesus Christ. Are we having another TED Talk by Killian?
No, but I'm just saying, I am trying to learn, get to know you.
Killian!
But you'd move the goalposts so frequently.
No, I don't!
Just when I feel like, I've got this shit down, I've got this shit, I will do something that will be the exact thing that made you laugh one day and it will be the cause for frustration the next.
Because you have to know, like, feel your room, know
well,
your room.
No, no, this is not a language men understand. How can I could do one thing one day and it'd be fine and I do the exact same thing another
because
day when I've not
did,
changed or done anything
you,
else?
Yeah, because
the only thing has changed is what's
changed.
No, the only thing has changed is what's going on inside your head,
no,
which I'm not privy to.
No, you probably did it in the height of like frustration or we're in the height of like doing something. I'm in the middle of doing something probably and that's when you decide to do the same thing. I'm like, this is not funny in this moment. The child falls and is crying. You decide to do a dance across the room. I'm like, why would you do
oh, yeah,
that?
No, I'd know that, right?
Oh,
but
do
if it
you?
Was, but if it was something, literally anything else, no. I am not privy to what goes on in your head. So in those moments, I don't know if... So then, do you know what I start doing? Just you start withdrawing then because you're like, well, I don't know if this is going to hit or miss. So I'm not going to swing. So then you're left never swinging.
I just think women...
are so... complicated.
No. Yeah, well, like I agree with
men
you.
Men are just simple. It's just that is exactly what you get. No. You know exactly what you get. If he's a
tick,
fat lazy shite,
tick,
he's a fat lazy shite.
Tick,
that's grand. At least
simple.
You know he's a fat lazy shite.
Tick, not simple. Tick. Yes,
we are
tick.
Tick. Then
yes,
treat us
tick.
Like we're tick. Don't treat us like we know what you know.
But like it's kind of frustrating after months and months and months, and then you're kind of like, why hasn't the penny dropped yet?
Because where the penny hits the ground changes every time.
No, it doesn't. Exact same.
So I put my hand out to grab the penny. But now you're dropping it off the
oh,
other
you're,
hand.
You're running with this metaphor.
I'm just trying. I'm trying to mansplain it as clearly
as that's your
as
biggest
possible.
Mistake. That's your biggest mistake there.
But if I don't explain it, then you're like, oh, I don't know what you mean.
No, babe, how did you reverse this?
What are you talking about?
You've like reversed it into how that I don't understand you. Going, you have to explain a mansplain. It's not about you.
Main
how
character
you,
syndrome.
This, how did you do that?
Main character syndrome. I can do it literally with everything.
So on that note, I think that's enough for today.
Can you hear the tone? I think that's enough for the day. I'm going to get it in the neck after this.
No, you're not.
Whatever can I just address the listener for a second? Whatever you're doing for the day, enjoy it. Whatever you're going to do for the next little while, enjoy it. Because I can tell you, whatever she has planned for me right now, it will be designed for me not to enjoy it.
That's a lie. I just feel like this could end up... I don't think people want to hear us argue on the podcast, do they?
It's not arguing.
I know, I'm joking.
It's men are just like... She wants me to be a mind reader.
No.
And women are like, okay, I just want to...
I just said that's the end of it.
Wow. And you've just got a glimpse into the compromise that is any relationship. I've said, could you imagine I said to you on any given subject, Joa, I've decided that's the end of it. I'm going to try that the next time and we'll see what response we get.
Yeah, with your life in your hands, try it.
I wouldn't even say that under my breath walking away from you.
You probably would.
Yeah, I've definitely said words under my breath.
Yeah, I can hear you sometimes.
I can smell you under your breath. Go on with yourselves.
No,
we'll chat to you next week.
I've decided the episode is over. Like I have stinky breath.
You opened it by admitting you haven't even brushed your teeth yet today.
I said I can't remember if I did or not. I've been up since 6 a.m.
I can tell you, folks, you haven't. I've decided that's the end of it.
Death this breath over there. Isn't that your nickname, Ronan? Doesn't Ronan call you? What is it? Death breath.
This is the end of this week's episode, folks.
The worst morning breath.
Tune in next week to see if we're still together.
Have a great week, guys.
Bye.